So small. I could shut my windows, I could bolt my door. But if I don't feel safe enough to speak my mind anymore, then what's the use? I've nothing left to lose, no further to fall. So I'm gonna run, and I'm gonna believe, I'm gonna dream, and I'm gonna roll up my sleeves and give everything until there's nothing left to give. That's the only way I know how to live. Well, it was a nightmare, no tongue can tell. The streets of New York City look just like the gates of hell. In a flash, the smoke and the ash pouring down like rain. But they circled wagons and they gathered round as they bravely pulled our brothers and our sisters from the ground. And I know that we owe them more than to be afraid. So I'm gonna lie, and I'm gonna believe. I'm gonna
you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Listen to The Kevin Smith Show live each day, Monday through Friday. Just go to kevinsmithshow.com and join the universe.
Comments and views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. If you're joining us for the first time tonight, a special welcome to you. We're glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good habit to get into. And for all of you who are tuning in for the very first time, along with some of you who have tuned in before but are a little bit slow to act, let me remind you about our free weekly newsletter. The K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter. It comes out each and every week, and you can subscribe, no strings attached, truly no strings attached. And you can do that by going to kevinsmithshow.com. So just visit my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click the little link over there on the menu that says K-Files e-zine, and that will take you right to the sign-up page, okay? It takes about 20 seconds, and you're done. And then you will not be the only person on your block who is out of the loop. You'll be in the loop. You have heard, no doubt, about our new free podcast. Now, I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty excited about it because it's a way for us to share with you, with the world, in podcast form, The Kevin Smith Show, and to do so at no charge. Now, it's not every show. Understand, it's one show per week, but it's free, absolutely free, and you can go over to, there's a couple of, anyway, you can go to basically any of the podcast sites and find us, but you'll find us at podcastalley.com, and there's a link right under our schedule. If you go to my website, just look at the schedule that shows, you know, the times and the various time zones, what time we're live, and look right under that, and you'll see a link to Podcast Alley. Look, if you haven't gone over there to cast a vote for the show, do that, okay? That's really important. I'm really not kidding. That's important to help us get the word out there that it's available, okay? Or you can go to my site at, it's called Libsyn, and that's Liberated Syndication. So it's here's the address, kevinsmith.libsyn, LIBSYN.com. And, oh, by the way, that means you can download with, if you have iTunes or, you know, whatever you're using to download the podcast, you can download it at any of the various sites. Now, if you are a member of the Kevin Smith Show, in other words, you've subscribed to our members area, you get all of the shows, in podcast form. Okay? All right, folks, my guest this evening is Michael Horn. We'll be back in just a moment with him.
Humans have built a glorious civilization. We have spanned the globe with cities that reach the sky. And it's all going to end in the blink of an eye. So frightening, you'll wish it wasn't real.
Survival is going to be everybody's priority.
The Horizon Project. Order now at thehorizonproject.com or call toll-free 866-607-8439.
Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to kevinsmithshow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network. You know, for quite some time, I have been talking with you about the phenomenal resort accommodations, the Bath Street Apartments, in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. Now it's time for you to see for yourself. Go to kevinsmithshow.com and click the Bath Street banner at the top of the page and see for yourself why Bath Street Apartments should be your next vacation destination. Since 9-1-1, we've all become security conscious. We want to know the people whose job it is to protect us can actually do the job. The difference between a security guard and a security professional is professional training. In Arizona, the oldest and best DPS-approved security academy is Assessed Security Enforcement Training Academy. Make sure your security staff is the best. Call Assessed at 602-997-0041. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Hi, this is David Bowie wishing you a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Michael Horn. He is the American representative of Billy Meier. And we'll get right to Michael in just a moment, but we're getting to that time of the year. I've got to say this. We're getting to that time of the year when I sort of begin to tap dance on various businesses and various government officials around the country, And the reason I do that, the specific reason is, we have a big season now coming up, big holiday. We call it Christmas. I'm not a religious person, but it irks me that society has co-opted a holiday, the very name of which is Christmas. And then, this was a religious holiday belonging to the Christians. And then society as a whole, governmentally even, have co-opted this thing and then told the Christians, you can't say that word and don't have a nativity scene out where we can see it. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if you co-opted Ramadan as a national holiday and then told the Muslims, oh, by the way, don't mention Allah. Oh, my God. You know? So, in Chicago, they have done this. As far as I know, they're the first on the list. I'm checking into this. There was a story that came out today about it, where there's going to be a festival of the holiday, but the wisdom of the city fathers has, they've told the festival they have to, you know, drop one of the sponsors because this sponsor made a film about Jesus. Now, look, if you're going to co-opt, if you're going to celebrate the holiday, you're going to co-opt it and incorporate it into your schedule. Don't think you own it. It belongs to the Christians, and you need to learn what freedom of speech is all about. So as soon as I find out, like if it's the mayor or whoever it is, you can expect we'll be giving them a call to get their response on why they are anti-constitutional. Okay, my guest is Michael Horn. He is the American representative of Billy Meyer, and he's been with us before, right here on this show. I'm delighted to welcome him back to the Kevin Smith Show. Michael, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. It is a pleasure to return to your audience and to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Let me get your views on something very quickly. You heard what I just said. Do you think that makes sense? If you're going to take over somebody's holiday, don't think you own it. They own it.
Yeah, I'm not a religious person either, and I'm not upset by people expressing, you know, their religious beliefs and having the holidays and all that. I think there's a deeper issue, perhaps. I mean, since from the perspective of the Meyer material, which is certainly not religious material by any stretch of the imagination,
yeah.
Let me preface this and say that I'm going to, you know, this has just popped up, so I'm thinking about it kind of on the cuff, but I'm going to use the Meyer material as a frame of reference, so people don't have to think that this is written in stone anywhere. It's a point of view. Okay, so my point of view, using the Meyer material as a reference point, is this. It has long been foretold in this material that during these times, which reach back a little ways and extend a ways forward into the future as well, the religions of the world were going to come to a head against each other, along with secular non-religious forces, but that fundamentalism and religion was going to play a huge part in an enormously destructive period, unless, of course, human beings take more responsibility and we, individually, collectively, start to change the course of things, even though we're pretty far along in them. Therefore, following in this train of thought, because the Meyer material posits that none of the religions in and of themselves actually are entirely true or truthful, but contain elements of truth with much distortion that has been accumulated either accidentally or deliberately over centuries, you can't help but have things that are not truthful coming to a head and also coming into a conflict with each other and having things shake out. So it's like the manifestations of this are going to be varied. They're showing up in many different ways in terms of protests about prayer and holidays and all sorts of things. Sometimes the people that are having these troubles have no particular spiritual perspective. They might simply have a perspective that seems to be one of commercialism or what have you, as I thought I heard you speaking about. So my only real comment is that it seems consistent with the times that we've foretold that we are in already, that we're going to have these very unusual and oftentimes unpleasant manifestations as we become conscious of a need for truth, and we let some of our worst as well as our best instincts come forward, and sometimes those worst ones are materialism and commercialism and suppressing other people's freedom of expression, etc. So I don't have anything
more
to say.
My only point of view on this works like this. This is supposed to be a free country. Now, and it's supposed to be that you and I own this country. You, me, and all the other citizens, we own it. And we set up a system of law that says we're going to be tolerant of everyone's belief. So you can believe what you want to believe or don't believe anything. That's freedom. But what do you think would happen if we started enforcing this? Okay, government, on July the 4th, don't you dare mention Abraham Lincoln. Don't you dare mention George Washington. Don't mention Jefferson. We don't want to hear it. To me, that's like telling the Christians, oh, by the way, don't mention Jesus. It would be the same if you told the Muslims, don't mention Allah.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm very, very concerned that we're watching the death of freedom. And we're seeing that happen by this, in the name of being tolerant, and they say we don't want to offend anybody. Well, you know, who gives a rat's rear if somebody's offended?
Yeah.
I mean, get over it.
Yeah.
It's freedom.
I think you've hit on a lot of the key points of the issue, and I think it will also boil down to something further, that is that we will not give lip service to things, be they political or religious, just because we've been trained to, but our, whether it's worship or participation in different areas of life, will be motivated largely from within, from a truthful and reverent place, from a conscious place. And I think our future, probably a little bit in the distance, won't even have a lot of these issues in it, because we won't be so symbolically wrapped up with things carrying such mixed messages as the religions carry.
I think that's true. I do. But for me, it's just the whole constitutional thing, the freedom thing. Because, look, you and me talk about UFOs, right?
Yeah.
There are people in this country who would like to shut that up. You know, and I see this as very much the same cause. It's not religion, but it's very much the same issue. It's called freedom and freedom of speech specifically. Since you were with us last, Michael, you caused quite a stir, made quite an impression. I believe it was in October in Ontario. You were at a conference there. and it created quite a stir. A skeptic who went there as a journalist ended up coming away breathlessly impressed. And, pardon me, and published an article in the American Chronicle, very much impressed with what he had seen and heard in your presentation. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Let me just make sure that I know whose article that was.
Vanderplag.
Oh, yes, Dirk. I met him at the event there. Well, I'm not sitting in front of a computer, so I don't have it in front of me, but I know he wrote a review that did express pretty much what you just said, that he had been skeptical of the truth of the Meyer case and that he came away feeling, you know, otherwise. And what I'd say is this, that when somebody gets a presentation on the Meyer case, that is, when the information material can be put in front of a person, or they somehow look at it via the website or a lecture or a DVD or what have you, they have the opportunity then to think about something. They have the opportunity to think about many things. And one of the things that I think perhaps happened for Dirk was the logic behind the hoax premise is very easily destroyed when you start to present the entirety of the case. And for those of your listeners that may not know exactly what I'm talking about, let me just say this. The Meyer case has five or six categories of what I refer to as still irreproducible physical evidence. And that evidence is as follows: photographs, film, video, sound recordings, metal alloy samples, and even hand and fingerprints that have been embedded into the finish of two cars now in Switzerland in the past 2 years, that have, one of which set, actually multiple sets on one car have lasted for 2 years, and the other set is more recent, within the last year. And when I say still irreproducible, I mean not that people cannot and have not made photographs with models that look similar to Meyer's photos. So what I say here is you can take a photograph of a model of a 747 on a string and cleverly photograph it, and you can photograph a real 747 in flight. There are ways and means, even with just the photograph, of examining it to determine which is the full-size object and which is the model. In the case of the Meyer photos, of the hundreds that remain, he had taken well over 1,200, of the several hundred that remain and have been looked at and are available for people to see, the ones of those hundreds that are available for people to see, there is enough evidence in the photographs for someone to think and to observe and to certainly ponder whether or not this may indeed be, or these may indeed be, full-sized objects as opposed to models, and there's plenty of criteria for such an evaluation. There has been, by the original investigative team that looked at this case, researched it for over 8 years, they did photo analysis on Meyer's photos. They did have other experts look at the photographs and the film and the metal samples and the sound recordings. And these were people who put their own reputations in line, the people that were looking and evaluating Meyer's evidence, because as scientists or experts in their field, the last thing they really needed to do was to step forward and to give any credibility to an enormously controversial matter, especially during the time when the evidence was being looked at back in the late 70s and 80s. This is when the primary examinations were going on. It was an even more conservative time for scientists. And those that came forward, and we have this documented for free on the website, there's lots people can look at, basically they were all saying, well, these look authentic. There's no lines in here that show hoaxing. There's no overlays. It's not special effects. It's not a model. One guy from JPL was both pro and con. He was saying, well, it looks like it's, you know, real to me. And on the other hand, he was saying, oh, well, it can't be real, or he thought the people didn't behave right in their testing procedures or something. So you have always, in the Meyer case, you have controversy. You've got the yes and no, the pro and con. And this is not an accident, because if these people, these alleged extraterrestrials, exist, they could prove themselves to us in something under 5 minutes all over the world, and that would be the end of that. Probably be the end of our societies, too, because people would go pretty crazy. So I'm sorry to drag this one answer out so long, but to explain the physical evidence is to state that this is not some, you know, people speak about models. They say Meyer made models, and I love it when the skeptics do that. Not one of these people has gone to Switzerland, as I have seven times in the past 6 years, and they haven't even seen the actual models that are there. The one that was made by the investigative team had it made through a special effects company in L.A. It sits on prominent display in Meyer's office, along with a little wooden model, neither of which will pass muster for the tests, certainly to qualify as being genuine, as in the films, for instance. It's just...
Well, you know, I took a look at some photographs of the model that was made of, I think they call it the wedding cake UFO.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell instantly that you're looking at a model.
Yeah.
When you look at the photographs of this UFO that's been dubbed the wedding cake, because it sort of looks, you know,
yeah,
like a cake stacked up.
Yeah.
When you look at Meyer's photographs of that, you can tell instantly that it's much more intricate, it's much more detailed. And one of the things that I found interesting was the distance, you know, when the original photograph, and I'm not sure, but I think that's a frame from an 8 millimeter, isn't it?
On the wedding cake?
Yeah.
The video?
Yeah.
That's an actual video. That's the only video that Meyer took that survived. I think he may have taken another one that was stolen, but that's the only video. The rest of his film clips are films on 8mm, but that one was a video.
Well, you know, there's he was a great distance from when that wedding cake UFO was in front of a tree.
Correct.
Whenever you pull back that far, you can see if there's anyone out there, out of view, that's manipulating a model. And from my estimation, we have a frame of view that's at least an acre wide around mm-hmm. that tree.
Yeah.
And there's nobody out there manipulating this thing.
No.
And you can clearly see its size against the tree.
And Meyer zooms back. I think it must be close to 400 feet on his final zoom. The thing's very far away. You know, but I want to, since you brought that up, I want to mention something about the wedding cake model that was in the comparison of the article on my site. There's a skeptic and a model maker photographer named Jeff Ritzman who said he could duplicate that. Now, in fairness to him, because I think people should know, even though I've been pretty merciless with the skeptics because they've been equally harsh on me and Meyer, he claims he didn't complete his model of the wedding cake ship. Now, I don't know why not. If Meyer was making this model or models, because there's obviously three different sizes of this thing that he photographed, it shouldn't take anybody with two hands too long to make that model. But here's my point on it. Even if Jeff had probably spent another month on it, it would not have come off clearly. It would not have filmed or photographed as the wedding cake ship does, and it would not have been able to be in a video such as the one we're referring to, because his model was made with the little pie pans or cake pans or something, and clearly in the video that's not forced perspective. That's an object that has been calculated at about 14 feet in diameter. That is a significant distance from the camera, hovering there, almost, not totally, but almost motionless. Mm-hmm. There's a very minute up and down motion that was detected by a couple people on the video. But even giving the nod to Jeff Ritzman and his model of the wedding cake ship, you're not going to be able to duplicate that. People
At the time of the video, I don't think that the sophisticated computer graphics existed that exist today.
No, and Meyer didn't have a computer, I think, until 2000 or 2001. He was working strictly with typewriter and regular cameras, and that's why there are no more photographs being taken by him of the ships these days, because everybody knows that he would simply be accused now of using computers and Photoshop and digital effects, but he didn't have that then. And
no, in fact, nobody had it.
Nobody had it, and certainly not a farmer in the middle of nowhere in rural Switzerland. And if anybody in this listening audience, and maybe a few of the folks have ever gone to his property, just the walk down from the main road on the gravel road to the center, the house he lives in, and that functions as their center as well, you get a sense of the trudging necessary by anybody to go to all these various locations that he went to and to try to even set up such shots unobserved with models that have never been discovered that would have to be a significant size. It's out of the question, and people have to do a little more serious homework rather than being flippant about it. It is meant to be controversial, but we're in a time now where people have to kind of brush up and think a little faster, a little better, and a little quicker about what's real and what isn't. If someone wants to maintain steadfastly that Meyer used models, well, by golly, tie one hand behind your back, make your models, do your photographs and films, and and sound recordings and metal samples, and duplicate that. But nobody.
Well, another thing is that if he were going to use these models, if that were possible, which in the time that these videos and films were made, it was not possible to do what we're looking at on screen. But if he were going to use models, he would have to, as you say, he would have to transport those to the area, and he goes on a motorbike.
Yeah, with one hand.
Yeah, and so everyone would see his big 14-foot model on the back of this motorbike.
And the funny thing is, in that part of the world, in that little village, that area, the people there are very, very, let's just use a kind word, aware of what their neighbors are doing. They they don't allow things such as that to go unnoticed. And one of the features of the original investigation was that they did interview as many of the people in the area as possible, because, first of all, two-thirds of the original investigative team went over there as skeptics, and they wanted to see if this guy was hoaxing, and they figured that if they asked the neighbors if they ever saw Meyer, they'd get the story.
We have to pause for a break, and when we come back, more with Michael Horn and more information on the Billy Meyer case. I've got a couple of pretty good questions, I think, also, that I want to ask him. So we'll be back right after this.
10, 9.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring 5 of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to kevinsmithshow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network. Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
We must inform you that Kevin Smith has lost his mind. Business owners and advertising executives take advantage of Kevin's temporary nutty frame of mind. He is willing to invest $2,550 in you to introduce you to the very high value of advertising on The Kevin Smith Show. For details, email advertising at kevinsmithshow.com and just say, "Send me the package." We think he's gone nuts, but why not benefit from it?
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Michael Horn, the American representative of Billy Meyer. Billy Meyer, of course, is and has been for quite some time famous for his UFO films, 8mm films, and video, and still photographs, and his story of contact with various aliens. Michael, let's go back for a moment to this conference in Ontario. Mm-hmm. Just sort of tell us what was the conference, and then what kind of information were you presenting?
Sure. It was a lecture that was set up by a group in Toronto that is affiliated with the Meyer case, the FIGU, which is a long German word for, like, free community of interest in ufological and other matters, something like that. Someday I'll actually get that down so I can say it intelligently. But it's like a study group, such as we have in Los Angeles and other parts of the country, and they wanted to hold an event where the public could come and see and hear and learn about the Meyer case, and it was done at the Ontario Science Center, which is a beautiful facility there. And we had a nice big screen, which was probably part of why Dirk came away feeling the way he did, because we got to show the Meyer photos and the film and the Marcel Vogel interview and things like that, excuse me, on a very large screen, so that people could really look and sense and feel and think about what they were seeing. And I also did another thing, is I put a couple of photographs of that were done by Jeff Ritzman of a smaller, more traditional-looking UFO up to contrast them with the Meyer photographs. Now, Jeff, and I told him this long ago, I thought the photographs that he took of his little model were good. I mean, they were, as far as an effect looking like something, they were pretty good. But as everybody there could quickly see when we put up the Meyer photos, with showing the vastly, vastly more detailed and complex features of the UFOs in his photographs, and by that I mean dissimilar metals on the same craft and, you know, flanging and contours and what have you, it was very, very apparent to everybody the difference between a photograph of an authentic, large, unknown object and a good hoax, if you will. So this, there were people there that thought Meyer had been the one who had hoaxed, you know, photos of UFOs, and when making the point, in fact, of saying, okay, here's the difference. Here are two good, or three, maybe there were four, actually, I might have shown, of Jeff Ritzman's photos, and here are Meyer's photos. Is there truly any comparison in the detail, in the clarity, in the, you know, the effect, the real effect, not a duplicating effect, but the effect of looking at something? And then I rolled some of the film footage, and there's no question, because then you see one of the more elaborate UFOs flying towards you, and two lights alternate, go off, one from the flange, the extended disc-like flange, and the other one from the cupola of this craft in broad daylight. And the ship it's very steady, it's rotating slightly, but it's perfectly steady. And you realize, this is not a model. Nobody today has a model with two lights that flash off on a UFO like that in broad daylight and that could manipulate it, et cetera, et cetera. And so I put that up, and I also, of course, and I think maybe this is more of where we ultimately go in the conversation, I discussed a lot of the prophetic information in the case, because if you took the entirety of UFOs and extraterrestrials out of the Meyer case, you still have an enormous story. You have the most specific, prophetically accurate information spanning 55 years ever published by anybody in the history of the world. And I don't want to, you know, necessarily just jump away from anything about the presentation there that had to do with the UFOs, and we played the sound recordings and all, but we, as we go into the meat of the matter, a part of which, of course, is the prophetic information and the wide variety of topics and areas that Meyer published and still publishes information on, people start to get a sense that this is about something far bigger and more important than the, quote-unquote, the ships they came in. But the ships they came in is the eye candy to get our attention, and or at least has been for something like 30 years. Actually,
well, now, while you were at the conference, did you present also some of the photographs that were in his scrapbook?
I'm trying to think if I actually did. I mainly focused on the ones of the ships, if I'm recalling exactly what I showed there that day. Mainly the photos of the ships that are there. There are photos in the case that have been problematic, they've caused trouble, because they either are hoaxed, and I would say right now, knowing Meyer for 6 years, not by Meyer, or they are not provably or demonstrably authentic. And some of those have to do with photographs that he claims he took of dinosaurs and even some people on another planet, and a planet that had a huge pyramid, and other things where, quite frankly, you couldn't prove it. I mean, even if the photos were authentic, meaning there's no models or anything in them, you can't prove that it's taken on another planet.
Well, specifically what I'm interested in, I don't know if I saw this on YouTube or Google Video or where, but one of those places. In preparation for tonight, I went looking for any videos and photos and things just to brush up and make sure I was ready for the show. And I found a video in which I can't remember who was flipping pages in his... Is that you?
No, it's Randy Winters.
Okay, so you're familiar with this.
Yes, I worked with Randy back in, I think, 86, 87. We produced a video called The Pleiadian Connection.
All right, now one of the one or two of those photos are allegedly taken from inside the alien craft, looking out, and it's Mars in the background.
Right.
And you see a U.S. craft. It's got the flag on it,
right,
painted on it, and it says U.S. I think it says USAF on it.
Hmm.
Or USA.
I've seen those photos, and I've actually talked to Meyer about them. And
okay. Well, I'm interested in that,
yeah.
And then I have a follow-up question about that, specifically because it's at Mars. But go ahead with what you were going to say.
Sure. And again, I try to make it as clear as I can. I'm addressing this, of course, you know, mainly to your audience so they understand where I stand. There are things in here that I claim without a shadow of a doubt, proof far beyond any reasonable doubt or any standard, this is real. However, there is stuff that I call speculative, and that pertains to some of the information that goes into the distant past or the future. But also, when this whole thing came up about these photos in that book, and there's a bunch of photos, including one of Meyer and allegedly Pata in spacesuits and things like that, I talked to Billy about it, and he says, here's the problem, he said. A lot of the photos from the trips to other places in space and other worlds were, in their estimation, some of them were tampered with. He doesn't even know necessarily which ones, and he said to me, look, as far as I'm concerned, he says, forget it, forget the whole bunch of the shots about Mars or anything else, because I cannot tell you, looking at them, was it tampered with or was it not tampered with? Did I go? Oh, yes. Did I take photographs? Lots of them. But will it be important, since this is so, you know, this is a controversial thing, it doesn't have to do with, let's say, UFOs, where we can do better diagnostics on even the existing photograph, film, video, sounds, metals, etc. These are things where we're going to say, well, how do we really know that's Mars and it's a U.S. satellite around it, or a dust storm on Mars that he claims to have photographed, etc.? We can't. So I would say, do I know? Would I stand 100% behind those? I'd say no. Even Billy doesn't know for sure. Does he stand behind all this other stuff that we show that's on the website, et cetera? Yeah, 100%. There it is.
Well, does he claim, when he says, did I go? Yes. Does he claim in that story to have seen a U.S. spacecraft there?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't ask him, but I'm judging, and I probably should, just to be really discerning, you know, pose the specific question. But because he didn't disavow that the content of the photo, only whether or not it had been manipulated, I am thinking that he may be saying, in effect, yes, there's something that was certainly, at least at the time, traveling around Mars. But don't hold me to that one, because I don't have that affirmed or denied.
And the important thing about it in the video that I saw on the internet is that whatever that craft was, it was not any of the satellites that we had up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I bring this up is because I apologize for doing this, but I'm going to toss you one here.
Sure.
And do with it what you can. But because of that, we have now, because of that, I'm asking this question. Mm-hmm. We have now a situation where the Mars Global Surveyor has disappeared. Now, they didn't just lose contact with it on November the 2nd. They lost contact with it, all right. But then, they still have the tracking of where it's supposed to be. And whenever they brought the new Mars Reconnaissance Observer satellite, they brought it into position where it should have been able to photograph the Mars Global Surveyor, and they were hoping they would get good, sharp, clear photographs so that they could determine if there was something mechanical that was causing it to not be able to communicate. So they were doing it to analyze the problem. It saw nothing.
Mm.
The Mars Global Surveyor is gone.
Mm.
It's just gone.
Could it have just crashed into Mars?
Well, I guess it could crash into Mars. However, it's been in orbit for 10 years, and it had a good, healthy orbit, and then just vanished.
Oh.
And so what I'm wondering is, do you know if he saw anything up there that would have been, first of all, capable of eating one of our satellites, or secondly, would have perhaps been hostile enough to do so?
Well, my understanding is this. Right now, we are not in the proximity, or perhaps I should say, a hostile race is not in the proximity of our world with some imminent threat to us. There may well be, at least according to the Meyer material, there are the Pleiaren themselves and or perhaps some of the associated races to them, these alleged extraterrestrials, either maintain bases occasionally on other planets or moons, or will have some reason to come, you know, by or through the area or what have you. It's, you know, kind of a little out there for me, to be honest with you. But I don't have any direct knowledge at all as to if or how or why or who would have, you know, taken down that satellite.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. And speaking of those kind of pictures, there are some pictures in the Meyer case that Meyer does claim he took, and it's noted in the contact reports, of the Soyuz and the Apollo capsules when they were docking in space. I guess it was back in the, what was it, 70s? Those photographs, from what we understood, there were no satellites allowed to even photograph that. So his photographs of those two capsules above the Earth were the only photographs known to have been taken. And of course, people can debate whether or not they're real and authentic, but that those were in the Meyer case as well. But going back to your Mars thing, I don't know about that. I know that Meyer claims rather offhandedly to have been there recently. That's another thing. Again, I throw a lot of stuff in the speculative bin that is frankly neither here nor there in importance to us here on Earth at this time. It may or may not be true.
So he says he's been to Mars recently.
Yeah.
How recent?
If I understand correctly, certainly within the year, maybe more recent than that. And to the moon was as recent as May. Again, now this can sound pretty wacky, so again, one more time, allegedly speculative material. All I know is I have tried to personally trick Meyer up four separate times in 3 years on something that he, you know, he told me something 1 year, and I tried to trick him up three more times about the same kind of odd thing that we were speaking about, and the answer was exactly the same each time without a hesitation or a pause. And I simply personally find him to be a truthful person. Now, can I prove that he's gone to Mars and the moon and many, many other places that are written about in the contact reports? No, can't do it. And again, while people, you know, can get in a tither about that one way or the other, we've got more serious problems right down here, whether this man had these opportunities or not.
Absolutely true. I mean, when you stop and think about the huge mess, massive mess that the Earth is in. I mean, we don't have to go off planet to have weird things to talk about. Folks, we have to take a break, and on the other side of this break, we'll continue talking with my guest, Michael Horn. Don't go away.
Building a website? Settle for nothing but the best. iPowerWeb. You're hearing me now because I use iPowerWeb. Click the iPowerWeb banner on KevinSmithShow.com and trust me, there is not a better web host on the planet. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com. Now Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to KevinSmithShow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network. Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. Since 9-1-1, we've all become security conscious. We want to know the people whose job it is to protect us can actually do the job. The difference between a security guard and a security professional is professional training. In Arizona, the oldest and best DPS-approved security academy is Assessed Security Enforcement Training Academy. Make sure your security staff is the best. Call Assessed at 602-997-0041. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Michael Horn, and we are talking about the Billy Meier case. He is the American representative of Billy Meier. Michael, just before we went to break, we were talking about Billy Meier's visits to Mars and his visits to the moon. Now, I have a particular interest in Mars. That's just a personal thing. I like Mars. I think it's just a cool planet. But what about the moon? What does he say about the moon? What's happening on the moon now?
Well, I asked Billy if he saw any structures there, and he says no, he did not. All he saw were the crashed Russian probes, I guess, whatever Russia had sent up to the moon. And I said, well, did you go onto the surface? And he says, no, we stayed in the ship, and we did not go down onto the surface of it. Now, that... You know, with Billy, you have to ask the right question to get the right answer. If I'd said to him, perhaps, have you ever seen any structures? Have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen that? Then I could get further answers. But I didn't go there. Now, one of the things that's already recorded in the contact reports, because he's written about some of this stuff, he's described, I think he described a sunrise or sunset, one or the other, on Mars. I think he said that there's a bluish tint to it. He described two areas on the moon, near the poles, I guess, where there was something, there's never a change of light or something. And
Interesting. That is interesting.
If I got it right. I'm not in front of all the material right now.
But you know, it came out in science news within the past week that they have discovered a place where the light never changes. On the moon.
This was published a while ago, long before that. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I mean, I know it's mentioned either on my website or in the information linked from the Gaia guy's website in one of the contacts, because he's talking with Patai, I think, and there's some mention of how come the Earth scientists have never spoken about this, these places where, you know, the light doesn't change or something, and he says, I don't know, it's kind of strange. You would think that they talk about it. And this goes back a little ways, at least a year, probably more than that. It could have even been in the 90s. But it's recorded. See, this is the thing, when you get into the Meier material, where all the poor skeptics are going to have just such a bad time. When you know that things were published before so-called official discovery or occurrence, and you've got them circulating around, they're on the internet, they're in published, documented, copyrighted books, they're on DVDs, etc., the game is over for the skeptics. And of course, the skeptics are people too. They have their belief systems, just even though they think they don't, and they can't just be immediately thrashed with, unquote, the truth. They're people who have a very strong vested interest in making the Meier case of a hoax and all the rest of it are not ready to be faced with the fact that this man has been telling the truth for 55 years. Yes, he's been off this planet. Yes, he's been on these ships with other human beings from other regions. Yes, he's got photographs that we may even have them on my website, one or two photographs he took from inside one of the ships with two discs outside the window. I mean, it's like you would think the thinking people could get past their prejudices, but sometimes it takes a long time. When you get into this type of information, and there's volumes of it, and there's 24,000 pages still in German only, and we only have a few thousand pages in English. I've pulled 60 or 70 specific things and researched them on the Internet, and I found out the following. Every one of the events that they foretold that I could check to see if it happened, or it was a discovery that was made, the details coincided with what Meyer was told, and they were first published by Meyer, with the exception of only one that I could find. So this is where you go, wait a minute, why are you calling this guy a prophet? Some people say, well, because he fits the definition. Prophet is somebody that foretells things. And there's a reason for that. There's a purpose behind it. It isn't to become a deity. It isn't to be worshipped. It's not to start a new religion. It's not for people to be fearing a god and all the rest. It's to wake us up that we are on such a bad path in life that we will quite literally destroy the majority of life on the planet with a heavy loss in this country if we do not wake up and smell the coffee. And the guy who's funny little obscure guy in Switzerland, his job has been in whatever way he could to bring this information to the world so that people who were ready to take responsibility for looking at it would do so and would see the tremendous foundation of credibility, and then would turn their attention to the prophecies and predictions that pertain to today and tomorrow and say, wait, do we want these things to occur? Heck no. Well, how do we, you know, what do we do? And therein, there's more information in the case as to how we get ourselves out of these messes, but it's not going to be easy.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that's impressive about the Myers case is, I hate to call them really predictions, because it's not a prediction in the sense that you would get from a medium or a psychic. It's simply from, according to Myers, his contact with these alien beings and what they have told him and shown him. And, you know, here I've run up against one. I'm trying to remember where I saw this on the Internet, but I think it's the European Space Agency. I believe it is they who have discovered this place on the moon where the light never changes.
I would love to find that, because that we can show the document from Meyer has been published before that was ever announced. I guarantee it.
Well, yeah, unless he announced it this past week.
No. At least a year, probably a lot more. And it was also, I think he referred to a trip in the 50s when his first teacher, Svath, also, I think, showed him the moon. And he may have noticed it for the first time then, but he noticed it and remarked about it certainly within the last 10 years.
Well, that's interesting and kind of exciting for me to have personally now come up against one of these things.
Oh, yeah, and there's plenty more. I mean, I only hope that the most of the rest of them are wrong, the ones that, you know, are so dire. But there's tremendous number of scientifically related incidents like that. For instance, things that we may discover, I just put out in my newsletter on my website, theyfly.com. There's a free newsletter. And one of the items I just put at the very bottom was, in one of the contact blocks from 2005, Meyer's talking with Ptah, the alleged extraterrestrial leader of the alleged Pleiaran race, and he's talking about the other strains of AIDS that our scientists don't know anything about that are mutated from the HIV coming in contact with other pathogens, other viruses, and or bacteria, which has caused another strain or more than one strain of a faster onset AIDS that occurs with only in a matter of a couple of weeks rather than through the long incubation period. And I don't have the official translation of that done yet. I don't translate. I mean, it hasn't been made available to me. But this is just the kind of thing that the case is loaded with information before we get it. Now, a lot of people who are very conspiratorially oriented won't like the next statement, but Meyer published what he was told, I guess, back in the 90s, that AIDS actually came from an interaction between human beings and ringtail monkeys, sexual interaction, that the AIDS virus is carried in this particular lineage of primates, and that when human beings interact with them in inappropriate ways, there's a, you know, a mutation that takes place which creates this deadly to human form of the virus. Well, everybody that thinks that the virus was made in a laboratory, and that's not to say that maybe things haven't been done with it since, I don't know, but that's, you know, their point of view that they put out. And then I think there was a scientist or some that came out identifying this particular species after Meyer published it, like after Meyer published information on mad cow disease and the temperatures necessary to heat the material, the bovine material, to destroy any trace of the prions. It's above what our scientists even today know. And one other thing that most people don't know that was published by Meyer several years ago, he was told by the Pleiaron, I mean, we have these conversations where he's told this stuff, when the whole thing was going on in Britain where they were destroying the cow carcasses, or so we were told, you know, they were burying him or burning him, they were actually allowing some companies to process the contaminated cow carcasses.
I hate to do it, Michael, but we have to take a break. And we'll come back to that when we come back on the other side of the break. We'll also open up the telephone line for you. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. We'll be right back.
Settle for nothing but the best. iPowerWeb. You're hearing me now because I use iPowerWeb. Click the iPowerWeb banner on KevinSmithShow.com and trust me, there is not a better web host on the planet.
Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to KevinSmithShow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network. Yeah, Josh.
You're talking about if the aliens are indifferent or not?
Yeah.
This is going to sound really off the wall.
Okay.
And I'm kind of thinking about if these things...
You have 1 minute, and that's the end of the show. There's nothing I can do about it.
Okay. If they're living, and they can live, and they can die...
Mm-hmm.
If they come at you and abduct you, or anything like that, as crazy as this might sound, try to fend yourself off one, kill it, and if they're still around... As crazy as it might sound, eat it, and they'll leave you alone. If they're living in their animals, eat it. I'm being serious.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Thanks, Josh. I don't know if I could stand the thought.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring 5 of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Hello, this is Robert Stack of Unsolved Mysteries, wishing you the best for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Michael Horn. He is the American representative of Billy Meier in the very famous Billy Meier case. That's what it's come to be called. If you're just now joining us in this second hour, you have missed a blockbuster first hour, but we're glad you're here. And it's going to be a blockbuster second hour, I can promise you. Michael, when we cut away for the break, you were telling us about the mad cow disease and what Billy Meier had to say about that. So let's finish with that, and then we'll open up the phone lines.
Sure. What I wanted to conclude with was to report that what was in the material, and this goes back several years, was that I guess the British government had allowed some companies to process the contaminated mad cow contaminated bovine material into meal and sell it around the world for animal feed. This will eventually come out as more and more cases of mad cow show up, if this is true. So apparently, for somebody to make a quick buck, this has been sent all over, and other animals, cows and who knows what else, have been fed contaminated meal. We can, you know, leave it at that and see if, hopefully, let's hope that that's one that's just totally wrong.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying then that basically the beef supply around the world has been contaminated.
Well, let's put it this way. It's possible that that meal, having found its way to different animal food sources, may well have contaminated some of the food chain. Yeah.
So do we know where this feed has gone? Has any come to the United States?
We do not know. It was simply, and what I'll do is I'll try to find that contact and put it up in a newsletter or something. There's so much information to go through, and I always am trying to figure out, well, what should I put up on the website? Even we put up a newsletter, and then we just, I think today, put up another additional article on things you're not supposed to know that pertain to the Hiroshima attacks and Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Pearl Harbor has long been rumored to be, a kind of setup so the U.S. could go and bomb. And I never knew one way or the other. It happened right around the time I was born. And all I can say is that the information in the Meier case will make certain people who are of that persuasion conspiratorially, that will probably affirm there were suspicions. And if what Meier was told and what we've just put up and published is true, we have a lot to fear from the consequences of our own actions. The case speaks a lot about cause and effect, and prophecies are a function of someone being able to discern cause and effect and report on likely outcomes. I'm kind of hedging a little bit here just because there's so much to say about it, and maybe it'd be better if you have questions or if you have people that want to ask specific questions, we can do that and let...
Okay, we have someone holding online right now, so let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, please, and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent?
I'm just curious as what he thinks about that thing out of Brazil.
Okay, well, we have a very, very weak signal on you right now, so if you will, repeat your question.
I would like to know what he thinks about the prediction out of Brazil about the UFOs making themselves known between now and the end of April, 2007.
Okay. I've heard a little bit about that, and I haven't read a whole, concise thing on it. So my own prejudiced, narrow-minded opinion is as follows. I don't think it's going to happen. And the reason for it is we, in our world right now, are not exactly a welcoming committee for anybody who already has the ability to travel in space in this universe, that already has left behind, let's say, money and fuel and perhaps even, you know, religion and things, that has the ability to come and interact on another world. We are a world at war with ourselves all the time. There is nothing in it for a non-hostile society to come and put itself in the middle. It probably would be attacked, if not by the Brazilians, by the U.S. or somebody else. It's not a likely prospect, and it's a diversion. I think most of the things that float around about UFOs and New Age stuff and Ascension and all this, and pardon me, in my opinion, it's a terrible diversion from the realities that we have to face and to deal with here that have nothing to do with anybody from outer space any longer. They don't have anything to do with imaginary fourth dimension shifts and stuff. It has to do with the very world that we would prefer not to wake up to finding going on every morning, but here it is and here we are in it. So I wouldn't waste my own particular time waiting for UFOs to land or alleged extraterrestrials to show up, because even if they did, so what? What does that do for you and me? And I'm speaking to somebody that claims to represent a scientifically proven, virtually scientifically proven UFO contact case. And I'm saying in that representation, it's about far more than the UFOs and the ETs, because it's about us and our future survival. And that's where ultimately we spiral into on the Meyer case. So even if someone comes here from Alpha Centauri or whoever it is and they plop down, it's just another human being or whatever like form of life it may be, and we're going to go, well, now what? Well, we're still stuck with our problems, and no one's coming here to save us or straighten us out. We've been given information about how to do that. Now it's up to us to do it.
Okay, Brent, does that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Good point. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, the telephone line is open. 1-800-289-1092 is the telephone number. It's toll-free throughout the continental United States and Canada. Now, if you happen to live outside of the continental United States or outside of Canada, and you want to ask a question of Michael Horn or make a comment, you can send me a flash message. Now, the easiest way to do that is just go over to my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com. And if you look at the little blurb there about tonight's show, you'll see Michael's picture and a little paragraph about Michael. And down under that, you'll see a link to send me a flash message, all right? And that just opens up your email program already addressed to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Michael, I think you made a good point. The point being, if these beings do show up and land, and there's no question at all about, you know, are they real and is this a UFO? Yeah, so what?
Yeah, so what?
You know, we still have massive problems of hunger and disease and war, and incredible, and to my thinking, probably now unsolvable ecological problems. Maybe not unsolvable, but I think we've probably passed the point of no return on it.
Well, you're hitting another one of the core areas of concern in the Meyer case, because going back over 50 years, they were telling Meyer about the destruction that we are doing to our planet, that is going to have just terrible consequences as the future unfolds. They told him long ago about the connection between A-bomb testing and the ozone damage, which wasn't confirmed until 1988. He had published it in writing first in 75, but he had been told about it originally in, I think, 51. And other things that will, you know, just boggle the mind, the extraction of petroleum and natural gas from the earth, as well as the overbuilding of cities and damming of waters, precipitates volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. And in no uncertain terms, they have told us that if we do not stop this taking the oil out of the earth, we will have quakes that are so massive that entire land masses will sink. Now, we haven't seen it yet, so we're not concerned about it, and, you know, it's just another, you know, hyperbolic bit of bad news. But
Once we see it, it's going to be probably too late.
Too late to do anything about
it. Yeah. We have another caller on the line. So, caller, if you will, tell us your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus. I just want to let Mike know that I saw him earlier this year at the UFO Congress in Laughlin. Michael, I wanted to ask, has Billy had any recent contacts?
Yes. His contacts continue to this day. They will average from once to several times a month. And he is still, you know, seeing these people. And Debbie, I don't know that if I mentioned it, I'm going to be at Laughlin again this February or March. And just for you and for Kevin's audience, because this is the first time anybody's going to hear about this, we are going to have some new film footage. I won't tell you exactly what, but it's about the Meyer case taken in Switzerland, and I think people are going to be very interested, and we're going to eventually have, you know, quite a bit to show, but we're going to have something to show you there. And we have we know of three people in Switzerland that have seen these ETs, and that's kind of rare because they try not to be seen, but his contacts allegedly are still ongoing, and part of it has to do with assistance in correcting translations of the material that has been done over the years, where they're trying to refine the language. German is a very complex and specific language. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Okay, thank you. All right, folks, if you wish to ask a question, if you wish to make a comment, the telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-289-1092. You said there are at least three people that have been identified or found in Switzerland that have seen these extraterrestrials, three people other than Billy Myers.
Oh, yeah. There's 120 or so witnesses to the ships, but there's three people. I was just there again in September, and I was speaking with all three of them, actually. They are people who've been around Meyer for some time. The thing that impresses me about the people in this case, the witnesses, the FIGU members there and all this, they are very matter-of-fact people. They are not a kind of, you know, I live in L.A. They're not L.A. people. They're not jumping up and down screaming about UFOs and aliens. They don't even talk about the UFO alien part of it for the most part, unless you ask about that or unless it's really connected to the teachings, the spiritual teachings, and things like that that are up for discussion. They are long past in being, you know, being over with UFOs alone. So I talked to maybe 25 people the last trip just to ask if they've ever seen a ship or anything. The majority of people there have seen the UFOs. Three people have seen the ETs. And one of the people there who's been around Meyer a long time even said, you know, I don't believe in the UFOs, but I don't care. I've never seen one, but it's the teachings in the case. So this, you get this talk on the internet about Meyer runs a cult in Switzerland with a bunch of brainwashed people. Well, you know, I've been there, as I say, seven times. I know these people. They run the whole gamut in terms of professions. They're, I just say, ordinary folks. Some are very, very exceptionally bright. Some are very average, what have you, you know, just like we are here. They do jobs, anything from computer work to school teachers to publishers and everything in between, and to them, it's not any longer a question whether or not this is real. It's what do we do with it? We study it. How do we inform people without running around and pushing it in their face? The reason there's no cult, there's nobody trying to get anybody to join anything. The whole group around Meyer, the 30-odd, 40 people or so that are part of a core group around him, are voluntary members, people who come together voluntarily, and it is they that set all of the terms of their association. So if there's a tithing that goes on, and there's a tithing with the members, they set it up, not Meyer. If they decide that they're going to have this meeting or that meeting, it's done from the group itself, and everybody has a say in it. It's run very, very democratically, and it's quite inspirational. I've talked to people who I respect for their ability, because they've also hashed out the very difficult process of living together and keeping their standards and values high, and trying to create a community based on higher principles.
And well, usually when we think of a cult, there's a cult leader,
right?
And he's usually trying to impose his belief system on others. Now, what about Myers? Does he do that? Does he?
Well, here's the funny thing, because here's the best answer I can give you. There's no belief system in this case. Mm-hmm. There is no belief system. As I mentioned, there's one guy, this guy Stefan, who says, I'd have never seen the UFOs. I don't believe in it. I don't think they're real. I've never seen it. Nobody cares. Nobody fights with him about it, because they do not have to be of lockstep like mind about all these things, this phenomenon part. Mm-hmm. They're not even of like mind about all the things they're trying to be of like mind about. Meyer is fairly reclusive. He spends most of his time divided between his writing, which he does for many, many hours every day. He has a family. He also does work around the property. You could say he's a leader in a certain sense, and that would be true. But there are other people who are leaders in other areas there. Meyer simply is the most knowledgeable person there about the ET contacts and about a number of other subjects that he's pretty good at. He happens to know quite a bit about plants and where to plant which type of tree and other things like that. But there are other people that are far more knowledgeable in other aspects, even of the horticulture or the animals or what have you. So he's not walking around barking orders to everybody, but there are also times in which it does fall to him to give orders about something, like it falls to a guy named Silvano to give orders about something else. So this whole thing of a cult, you know, I'm used
to...
Yeah,
you saw no evidence of it.
I see that there are people that could maybe have a cultic mindset, because this can happen to people. It's not the majority of people that I know there, but would I say that nobody there couldn't have a cultic kind of belief system? No, that's very likely. But they also are kind of self-regulated group. They weed themselves out. They have their head buttings with each other, and there are people that have left the group, and there have been people that have been asked to leave, for all sorts of various reasons. But it isn't about perfection. This is a process. The cooperative living kind of a model, however we picture it in our minds, is a process that we all on the planet have to sooner or later be able to work with in ways that respect our individual rights, like you were speaking of at the very beginning of the show, freedom of speech and thought, plenty of individual space so that we're not on top of each other all the time, banging into each other and with no privacy. There's all sorts of elements, and they have this ongoing experiment, if you will, where it's been going on for almost 30 years with many of the people, and they are trying to see how they do this, while at the same time, visitors from all over the world show up, announced or unannounced, who want to sit and talk to them about the UFO pictures or buy the pamphlets or books or what have you. There's hardly any time that there's really complete privacy for anyone there. The kitchen always has not only some of the members of this group, but people who've come from different parts of the world who are sitting around and eating with them and then helping work in their little gardens or what have you. It's a very interesting place.
All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Michael. This is Martha in Arkansas.
Hi, Martha.
I believe that the messages that Billy Meyer has to offer more or less speak for themselves. I'm really not concerned about, whether the pictures or whether people think those pictures of the craft are real or not. Those messages that he has put out more or less speaks for themselves. And I was wondering if there's are any plans to sort of speed up, translations of the messages.
Okay, Martha. Can you hear me, Kevin?
Sure, go ahead.
Good. Thank you for the question, and I happen to agree with your point. It really is, the spaceship part of it really is kind of, okay, we do that occasionally, but let's get to the meat of the matter. As far as the translations, it is actually the responsibility of any interested parties in any countries who want the material in their own language to set up a translating team and to do translations and submit them then to the Swiss for approval to make sure that the precise meanings were conveyed. This is a very, I would say it's a problem, because the German language, as I said before, it's very specific, very complex, and certain meanings have only been able to be conveyed in German and less effectively in other languages like English. That means that even though the Swiss have done some of the English translating, it it falls to us, the other people in the world. And right now, Spanish, Italian, French, maybe Russian and Czechoslovakian, Polish, there are different groups of people who are either doing the online forum discussing this. There are online forums. You can get to all this stuff off of my website at theyfly.com. You can email me if there's anything that you didn't get a chance to ask tonight. I eventually get around to answering all my email. It just takes me time. But to conclude the thought, we have some friends in Australia known as Gaia Guys, and they have a huge website. And they have been doing what are called unofficial, unauthorized, well, authorized but unofficial or unauthorized translations, meaning the Swiss have said, go ahead and do it. We have not given you an official status in terms of saying that every word you've translated is accurate, but the quality of your work is good enough that for the English-speaking world right now, you are doing the best work with these people, this couple in Australia. So I feature their translations as well as anything that's been authorized from Switzerland, and you will find them on my website. I link to them. They have their whole website. I feature their translations. We just put up two new ones in the last 24 hours. So I hope that's a good enough answer. And if people really wanted to help them, if they want, they can do it. It's just that most of the time you have to pay people who can have translating skills. And the Figu people, contrary again to everybody's belief, they're not a rich cult riding around accumulating millions of dollars, in a position to start paying for everybody's translations. This is our responsibility, and the core of this case is self-responsibility. That's what, as we go more into this, for the final half hour, we have to talk about the solutions that they really speak about specifically for our world and how we are to get ourselves there. And it does come down to self-responsibility. A little dry, a little boring for a lot of people, but so. Now, if I can, and just obviously just stop me if I'm going on too much there.
Well, let me just say to Martha, thank you for the call. We're going to release the line because we do have some other people trying to get in. 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number, 1-800-289-1092. Let me quickly remind you, if you have not yet gone and voted at Podcast Alley for our podcast, I really need you to do that, and I hope you'll do it. I've put the link on the website, okay? So just right under the broadcast schedule at kevinsmithshow.com, there's a link that says Podcast Alley. Just click that, go over there, and vote for our podcast, okay? I really, really need you to do that. Okay, Michael, I guess the long and the short of it is that there is this sort of, I don't want to say accusation, but an allegation that these people around Myers are functioning as a cult, and your experience with them personally is that that's not the case.
Right. And I could elaborate a little bit. There's a group out there under the leadership of a guy named Rael, I believe it is. And he's in Europe. I think maybe he's Belgian or something like that. And there's maybe 50, 60,000 members. And it is a UFO cult, a free love, free sex cult. And they claim to be able to clone people and animals and all sorts of stuff. And it's a goofy thing where it is a genuine cult. And when I was lecturing last year in Australia, I met a few of the members of the Australian contingent. And I must say that they do have a nice choice of young ladies that come with them to these events, but the vibration, to use an overworked term, is so different from what you get in Switzerland with the people there. You have working people who are not running around trying to promise you free sex, free love, free anything else, nor are they trying to solicit you for money. So what are they doing? They're saying, this is our experience. There are teachings here that humanity would benefit to be knowing about and applying. It is our self-determined job to come together and to publish this work and to help Billy get it out. And that's this group. Other than that, as I say, they run the gamut of all sorts of jobs. Only a few of these people, relatively speaking, live on the premises, mainly as family members and a couple of longtime friends. So there's no cult. For instance, there is a sculpture that's just been completed by a man named Engelbert. Vector, I think it's Vector over there. And it's a beautiful stone and brass sculpture. And online, it was sent to me, the skeptics are saying, look at this lavish monument for this, you know, this cash-rich cult in Switzerland. And I was there looking at this, and this has been completed by an 80-year-old man who made it as a gift to his community there. He did all the labor himself on it. And it's, you know, it's just so, so pathetic that we apply our own materialistic, narrow-minded, venal motives to people that don't live that way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's go to the phone line quickly. Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from? Okay, I guess the caller has left us. Elvis has left the building. And that's a shame, because there are people trying to get through. 1-800-289-1092. We are up against a break in about 8 seconds or so. So I'm going to go ahead and take a call and put you on hold. And caller, if you will, just hang on, because we're going to get to you when we come back, okay? All right, folks, my guest is Michael Horn. He is the representative for Billy Meier in America. And we'll continue with him when we come back.
Humans have built a glorious civilization. We have spanned the globe with cities that reach the sky. And it's all going to end in the blink of an eye. So frightening, you'll wish it wasn't real.
Survival is going to be everybody's priority.
The Horizon Project. Order now at thehorizonproject.com or call toll-free 866-607-8439.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
We must inform you that Kevin Smith has lost his mind. Business owners and advertising executives take advantage of Kevin's temporary nutty frame of mind. He is willing to invest $2,550 in you to introduce you to the very high value of advertising on The Kevin Smith Show. For details, email advertising@kevinsmithshow.com and just say, send me the package. We think he's gone nuts, but why not benefit from it?
Now's the perfect time to switch to Dish Network. Make the move today and get 100% digital TV for only $19.99 a month. Free two-room DVR upgrade, free high-def receiver upgrade, number one in the U.S. with 29 high-definition channels, and a free movie package for 3 months. Choose from Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, or HBO. Go to kevinsmithshow.com right now and click on the banner for Dish Network.
Call The Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. This is going to be a little bit of a surprise for me. Because we had one particular person that sent me an email asking for the telephone number to call in. And I emailed back giving the studio line number, because that's the only other number I've got. And so I have a caller on hold. I don't know if it's that person or not. So we're going to find out. Okay? Caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It is Jeff. I did get through, didn't I?
Well, you did. All right, folks. Let me tell you who this is. This is Jeff Ritzman.
Yes.
And I
got to tell you, I'm using Skype to call in, actually, so that's probably why I didn't show up on your caller ID, because I've tried about 6 times tonight.
Okay.
So,
well, I, you know, rate. Since you sent me an email wanting to know how to call in, And I've been watching. I've been watching my call log because I've been watching for your call. I wanted to get you on, and exactly. I wasn't seeing it, and that's why I was saying it. I don't know if he's going to call or not, but
right.
Okay,
yeah, I wanted to make sure I got in.
Well, Jeff Ritzman was mentioned earlier by Michael, and he is the person who has made some of the models.
Yeah.
Or is it a model or several?
It was one initial model that was strictly like your simple disc, early style Meyer shots, and then we did an attempt at building the wedding cake craft, and I say attempt because essentially I never finished it, and I have to actually give you a little backstory on why that wasn't done.
Okay.
Initially, when Michael Horn, when I first met Michael Horn, he had put up a challenge to most UFO researchers in the community to look into the Meyer case, and that any and all information would be made available for anyone serious enough and willing enough to look into it to do so. And of course, growing up, I had seen Meyer's photographs throughout many years, and I was always pretty interested in it. I had heard a lot pro, and I had heard a lot con about the case.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, I wrote Michael, and I said, I'm an image analyst, and I do a lot of work with imaging with my job and whatnot. And I said, I'd be really interested in taking a look at some of, negatives or prints from negatives, something like that. And I was more or less told that there are no negatives that currently exist. There are also no prints. Photographic prints directly from negatives that exist. In as much I've found out since then that there is no metal samples that currently exist. I was basically told, you can buy the DVD and do your analysis off of that. Well, I don't really think it takes an image analyst to tell you that anything off of a DVD or a print or so on and so forth is not really going to be adequate enough as far as the quality in order to do an analysis on it to determine distances and focal things like that. And I let Michael know that.
So what you're telling us is that you've never had the negatives in order to do the analysis.
Or original prints from negatives.
Okay, let's pause and let Michael respond to that for just a moment.
Sure.
All right. Sorry, a pilot error there. Okay.
Oops.
Go ahead, Michael.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because you sound pretty much in the distance. I do not have any negatives. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, most or at least a lot of Meyer's photographs were from slide positives. Now, we have to remember something else. Apart from Meyer having taken his first few photos in 1964, he took most of his photos between 1975 and, let's say, 1980. That's now, 26 years ago. Meyer, and we know from the investigation, we know from witnesses, Meyer did not keep a real solid and pristine collection let's say even of the slide positives and things. People were taking things from him for years. People would come in to see things and they'd leave, and the next thing they knew, some of the originals were gone. Now, this doesn't satisfy a lot of skeptics, and that's fine. I don't, it's like, what are you going to do? I've said the Marcel Vogel analyzed the metals. He did a 45-minute analysis. He was a 32-patent-holding scientist, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's not good enough. When we get down, though, let's just say we get down to something like the film footage, which is, everybody has seen it or can see it, and the video that you were speaking about with the wedding cake ship. To date, no one, not Jeff, not the people from Center for Inquiry West, anybody, has been able to duplicate those films. Let's just start there.
Okay, let's back up for a second on the metal samples. Now, Jeff says that there are no metal samples.
There are. Here's the thing with the metal samples. I'm just going to put out so people understand. Meyer still retains some of the metal samples. Does he want to put them through the process again of testing? No, he really doesn't want to do that. Is it because he thinks they're going to come out as pieces of solder? No. Let's just say that we had a scientist, and now this isn't the only alternative, but it is one. Let's just say a scientist
Let's keep it short, though, because we want to get back to Jeff.
Okay, sure. Let's just put it this way. A scientist says, I can't make this with any technology I have, and someone says to him, okay, are you willing to say as a scientist that that means that these were made by extraterrestrials? I don't think there's a scientist in the world that's going to say that, because there may be another possibility. No, I can't say that. There might be another answer. Maybe. And we're back to a square one, and all of our attention is then back on the physical evidence, which Jeff is correct. I've made a big deal out of it, but it's not the core of the case. So,
okay. All right. Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. He says that the samples exist, and he's explaining why they can't be tested.
Right. Let me put it to you this way. Over the past couple of years, Michael and I have gone pretty much round and round on some message boards, and it was stated by him a couple of times, I believe, that no metal samples exist today, and I believe IG West has been after him for quite a number of days and put the challenge to him that they would have the metal analyzed by a third-party independent forensic team to effectively analyze that, and so far nothing really has come forward about that. Getting back to the photographs again, when there are no negatives, and Meyer was told, we've been told for 1,200 over the years, and real honest with you, this is touted as one of the most important events in human history by Michael, and if it is that important, I would have thought that better care would have been taken by the original investigators to secure that data for future study as well. It was mentioned that Robert Post from JPL took a look and gave a pro and a con statement that Michael had said earlier. And to tell you the truth, when you really read what Robert Post had to say about what he was shown, he said directly that he was not shown photographs nor negatives. He was shown lithographs of the photographs that Meyer had taken.
Explain to us what's the difference.
It's a high-resolution ink print made from the photograph, which more or less it means that it's like a poster. It's a postcard. It's a printing process, which means that... In essence, the image is broken into dots mm-hmm. back then, and when Robert then saw the photographs, I guess at some point later, he said that they were a lot fuzzier than the stuff on the lithographs that he had been shown, and at that point he said, "quote Maybe this guy is just a con man, and that's not the kind of guy I want to have anything to do with."
Okay, so, let's let Michael respond to that.
Sure. As I said, Robert Post had a pros and cons, but Robert Post was only one of a number of people who looked at the photos. Wally Gentleman was a special effects expert for the film 2001, Stanley Kubrick film. He said, and I'm not looking at my screen right now, I'll have to do it from memory more or less, he said, basically, either this is a master at work about whom I know nothing and who has 15 people and $50,000 per setup, or it's the real thing. Michael Mallon from the NASA, the Mars mission, said, "These look good to me. These look like real objects. They don't look like fakes. I don't believe that the Swiss farmers on a first name basis with aliens from outer space, but the photos are good. Look, I took the films and photos into the two guys that I'm sure Jeff knows about from Uncharted Territory, who won the Academy Award for Independence Day. And I showed it to them, and I said, okay, these skeptics over at IIG said, Meyer scratched the film here on these two lights on this thing, and they laughed out loud. And they said, there's no film scratching on that. I said, well, is this a model? He says, no. He said, we know models, because they did Independence Day, I guess, with a lot of models. He said, those are not models. And I said, well, could you duplicate Meyer's films here from 1978? And he said, well, if we could, we'd have to go to CGI to do it. Those are not models, and it's not special effects. Now, that was Volker Eckert or something like that, and I'm going to try to get in touch with him again and see if he'll go on the record with everybody. But let's just say for the moment that Marcel Vogel was telling the truth in his analysis for 45 minutes and that those metals were not of terrestrial origin, and he couldn't make them. What does that say then about all the photographs and films and the debate about them, if the guy's telling the truth? We have sound recordings that three professional sound studios were unable to duplicate, and they claim they were so specific in the frequencies, etc., they were made by an unknown sound source and would have taken a bank of synthesizers 20 years ago to duplicate them if they could have. To this day, nobody's duplicated them. So if I was to say anything to Jeff or any other skeptics about the films, duplicate the wedding cake film. Video. Duplicate the films where Meyer zooms in and the craft is emanating two lights, and remember that this is a one-armed man in 1978 taking this. Duplicate the film with the three UFOs hovering in it, with the tree branch in front, and the two UFOs blink out and one remains. These kind of things are hard, but beyond
let's pause and let Jeff respond to that.
Okay, the metal sample that Michael's talking about, which was analyzed by Marcel Vogel, unfortunately, we don't have anything to look at in regard to that other than Marcel Vogel's report. Unfortunately, with science, you know, you have to have this thing corroborated by, you know, more than one person who examined the metal. That metal mysteriously, quote-unquote, disappeared from Marcel Vogel's possession, as I understand it, and was never seen again. You know, and to this day, you know, nothing has ever been submitted again to anyone, you know, to look at the metal.
What about duplicating the audio, and what about duplicating the video or the film, I forget
right.
which it is, of the wedding cake?
Well, I think that, I mean, as far as the sound goes, that's not really my deal. Like, nor is really the prophetic information is not really my area of interest in this. Really, it's the image part of things.
Okay, well, let's talk about the wedding cake. And let me say,
sure.
We explained this in the first hour. Let me explain it here. When we talk about the wedding cake, for those who have joined us in the second hour, we're talking about a video or... Which is it, a video or a film?
That's actually a video.
Okay. So a video of an alleged UFO. It's called the wedding cake because it's stacked up like a wedding cake. Okay, so
right.
What about duplicating that? Is that possible?
Well, oh, absolutely. What I think is the fallacy in this is that in duplicating it, it certainly isn't going to prove anything other than you can fake it. I don't think that's going to give anybody enough proof to say that what I would duplicate is exactly how Meyer did it. Okay.
Could you duplicate it though?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The thing you have to realize with the piece of footage that you're talking about is that this craft never moves from a tree that's mysteriously, you know, dead on this hill with nothing else around it, and never moves. I mean, Michael claims that it goes up and down, and I don't see any evidence of it moving up and down whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my opinion of this is that this is a model that is wired to a tree. The wedding cake ship, there's been several parts that have been positively identified, measurement by measurement,
no.
to be common objects found about, you know, about probably around Meyer's place. One of them being a grain can lid that measures pixel for pixel to the line, the size, the placement of a handle that also appears on the grain can as addition to the hull of the ship. And there are also the Turkey UFO webpage, which I'm sorry is no longer around, but they did send me an image where they identified some of the small gold.
I hate to cut you off, but we're into a hard break, so if you'll just hang on, we'll come back right after the break, okay?
This is Charles Hall.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hardcastle.
This is Jason Martell, researcher into the ancient astronaut theory.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
Humans have built a glorious civilization. We have spanned the globe with cities that reach the sky. And it's all going to end in the blink of an eye. So frightening, you'll wish it wasn't real.
Survival is going to be everybody's priority.
The Horizon Project. Order now at thehorizonproject.com or call toll-free 866-607-8439.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. You know, for quite some time, I have been talking with you about the phenomenal resort accommodations, the Bath Street Apartments, in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. Now it's time for you to see for yourself. Go to kevinsmithshow.com and click the Bath Street banner at the top of the page and see for yourself why Bath Street Apartments should be your next vacation destination.
Ken.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is a barn burner night here, and what interesting information. Pro and con on the Billy Meier case. Totally unexpected, I have to say, and I appreciate Jeff for calling in, and I appreciate Michael for fielding the questions and presenting his evidence and his side of the story as well. Gentlemen, I thank both of you tremendously for being with us here tonight. Now, we only have 8 minutes left, and here's what I would like to do. What I would like to do is to give each of you about 2 to 3 minutes to just sort of sum up, wrap it up, and then perhaps we can schedule a time when the two of you can be with me for the whole show, and we'll have a whole lot more time to talk about this. So I tell you what we'll do. Jeff, we'll let you go first and give us the sum of it, what you think about the Meier case.
Well, the sum of it, you know, I don't have a problem if Meier wants to write books on, you know, how to live your life if you choose to live his way, or to, you know, to tell people that we need to take care of the earth and stop fighting pointless wars is a good message. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with this case is that there is so much about it that is misleading and deliberately so, in my opinion, that essentially we're not getting the whole truth of this case. And I think that we have to realize we're dealing with the UFO enigma as a problem is one that we really need to look a lot more seriously at. And when we have cases like this that are really muddying the waters for us, I think it presents nothing but problems for the field as a whole. I think Kevin Randall pretty much said it best in a CNN interview recently, where he said that, you know, we'll never get anywhere in this because we're stagnating dealing with the trash of the past. And I think he's got a really great point. And to me, it applies wholly to this case because, like I said before, there are so many issues, and I only touched around a few of them tonight. There's so much more that I've found out and that I've read about from others and whatnot. David Biedney being a friend of mine who is an ex-ILM employee and one of the foremost experts on Photoshop on the planet, has concretely proven, as far as I'm concerned, that at least one of Meyer's photographs he found to be an exposure, you know, multiple exposure hoax. And you know, unfortunately, I'm not good enough to argue with David Biedney when he says that. But really,
well, let me ask you this: would you be willing to come back and do an entire show with Michael?
Absolutely.
Okay, I want you to stay on the line with us after we go off the air. Let's give Michael his shot at a sum up, okay? Okay, Michael, it's your turn.
Okay, sure. First of all, Jeff said just a little while ago he was an image expert. He didn't care much about the prophecies, and maybe he said the films too. I think it's part of the problem. He's got a tunnel vision, and this doesn't negate, you know, the fact that we have to look carefully at the evidence, but I've said from the beginning this is about far more than just the UFOs and the ETs. And only through a comprehensive look at the entire case are you going to be able to perceive that. Now, he said that this case is misleading, there's all sorts of stuff. Jeff has never gone to Switzerland. He hasn't really investigated this. He may be reading things from different people, that's fine, but you really have to go beyond what he claims he's done so far to speak with any level of authenticity and authority about it. He said that the wedding cake craft was a garbage can lid and other commonly found items. Now, I make a very simple offer to Jeff. Get that or any other garbage can lid and the items that you claim comprise this wedding cake craft, put it together, take the photos. Meyer has 63 photos. You don't have to take as many, but do the video and show us that you can do the video. And of course, Jeff doesn't know, because he hasn't been to Switzerland, that there are a number of places where you've got rolling hills and a solitary tree, or maybe two or three, or none. This part of his problem is he is unfamiliar with the depth, the complexity, and the comprehensive level of non-conflicting evidence and information in the case. David Biedney did not prove a hoax. David Biedney proved something only two-thirds right. He said it was a double exposure. It's actually a triple exposure. He claims that Meyer took it out of camera and did something with an enlarger. We know for a fact Meyer never had an enlarger. We also know that that was an in-camera effect, and a friend of mine who had 50 years in has 50 years in the movie and special effects industry, who's a cynic about UFOs, said, hey, I can tell you it's a triple exposure, 99% sure it's in camera, but I cannot tell you it's a deliberate hoax. If David Biedney thinks it's a deliberate hoax, let him duplicate the photo. He hasn't done it. And that came from a buddy of mine who's not pro the Meyer case. So I agree, I'll happily agree to come back on and talk to Jeff, but I think since he's making claims here himself, he's now said it's a garbage can lid. This isn't speculation. He knows it's that, and he knows these other items. Put it together and show it to us. If it's wrong, I'm going to be the first guy to say, hey, now I see how Meyer did the wedding cake video and the craft.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And I tell you what, I'm pretty excited about having the two of you on, and we'll just go at it for a couple of hours, and I think that's good for the audience because people can make up their minds. But let me ask you, would you agree that the forensic evidence, the physical evidence, is an important part of the case? I understand it's not all of the case.
Oh, sure it is.
But it's important because it goes to the heart of the credibility of the writings.
Sure, and that's why you have special effects experts and scientists and sound engineers and scientific chemists like Marcel Vogel who have all vouched for the physical evidence, and that's why to this day these seven-fingered handprints are still embedded in the hoods of cars. I've asked Jeff to go over and analyze it or get some scientists. Meyer said, sure, bring scientists. We don't care. Just don't destroy our cars. But people talk, and they don't do anything. Jeff is just an imaging expert, and by just, I mean that's his particular area of focus. But there's six categories of physical evidence here, and it was all produced by a one-armed man. Why are we having a discussion, even, if one two-armed guy can't duplicate all the evidence? Meyer isn't
okay.
A specialist.
All right. Very quickly, because we're going to run out of time, you wanted me to give you a little bit of time at the end because you had something you wanted to say to the audience.
Yes, yes.
Because I do all this voluntarily, but I also sell stuff. I know that Jeff and everybody thinks I'm in it for the money, and it's an offensive thought. However, I do offer to any of your listeners that want it, if they get the Meyer Contacts DVD, we send them a $15 gift, free. All they have to do is let us know that they heard this show tonight on the Kevin Smith Show, and they get the free gift.
Oh, I hope you know what you're in for, because on this show tonight on One Network, there were 85,000 people listening.
Oh, boy.
And we're on several networks. So that $15 free gift might get very expensive for you.
Well, that'll be the good news.
All right, folks, you heard it right here on the Kevin Smith Show. The website is, for Michael Horn, is They Fly. theyfly.org. And right now, there is a link on my site that will take you there. So just go over to kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see the link to his site. Well, this has been an exciting, interesting, informative, and controversial show. That's the way I like it. I hope you liked it, too. Don't forget to go over to Podcast Alley and vote for the Kevin Smith Show podcast. The link to do that is also on my site at kevinsmithshow.com. All right, folks, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do, too, and you can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back. I'll be back tomorrow night with Bill Metz as my guest.